it's all Our State, and it's all Our State December issue.
That's right.
Right now, moving forward,
yep.
Beginning with just a cool cover. Could you describe that for listeners?
Absolutely. This is our annual holiday issue. And, you know, when you've got a Christmas issue that is in North Carolina, what better way to represent it than with a mason jar on the cover filled up with the state Christmas tree, a Fraser fir, and on the tree, a little bird, a cardinal, our state bird, of course, that is rendered inside a mason jar glittering with snow.
Yeah, I love it. I love the fact that even the top, the fabric, like a burlap, or the
right.
top, it looks like a little picket fence around the thing. And
exactly.
The base.
Yeah,
it's upside down.
We just wanted to do a cover that seemed warm and happy and friendly and really kind of evoked the South. And a mason jar certainly is a great way to do that. I think this might be the 100th anniversary of the mason jar.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Little trivia.
Yeah.
So often in our state, I mean, it's really well thought out, each issue. And this theme of the Christmas tree, in this case, the Fraser fir,
right.
comes back again and
yep.
again in small and short stories and in reverential treatment and photographs.
Exactly.
And you set it all off right here at the cover.
Thank you.
Now, that I think we would think very traditional, as is this notion of prayer, especially during the Christmas season. 16 original prayers for North Carolina. How did the idea come about?
Well, this was something a little bit different for us for our Christmas issue. You know, this is, the magazine's huge. You know, it's 250 pages. And, of course, we have our traditional Christmas content, a lot of stories that reflect the holidays. But we also wanted to do something that, I don't know, just felt like a bit of a respite from sort of the frenzy that the season can be sometimes. So about a year ago or so, I was speaking to a group of people actually in Pinehurst. And before the speech, one of the attendees stood up to say a prayer before we all got started. And I listened to him talk, and his prayer really was just beautiful. It was sort of a reflection of place and where we were, and he was just, you know, being thankful for the people that were around us, and it was just really beautiful. And I came back to work and I said, you know, what if we did something similar in the pages of the magazine? What if we created sort of a prayer for North Carolina, and maybe we could invite contributors from around the state to write for us sort of an original prayer, maybe something that spoke to region and spoke to place and spoke to home. And really, I think of these as more meditative essays in a way. So that's what we did. We looked for people who were around the state, different denominations, and just had contributors, clergy mostly, to write for us these original prayers for North Carolina. So the piece came out, I think, really beautiful and reflective.
It certainly is. And I was captivated. And I love the fact that, as you mentioned, it's cross-denominational, and they're short and sweet. I mean, they're each one about a page and a half max. Yeah. Beginning with, I mean, I was struck by the poetic prose of Reverend Billy Graham
at
95 years old. I mean, nobody does it better.
And I know. And, you know, he has such deep roots and deep connections to North Carolina, of course, you know, from Charlotte, and has a house in Montreat. And so his essay, his prayer really, you know, is about the importance of place and how we should be grateful for where we live and where we are. And certainly I'm sure he feels that way. One of my favorites is from Max Carter, who's at Guilford College. He's a Quaker, and he has a line in his prayer that is about how his physical and spiritual ancestors came here to this place before there was even a United States. And I just love the idea of that, you know, this idea of deep connection with home. He talks about the Underground Railroad and the significance, certainly, of that to the Quaker community and also to Guilford County and really to North Carolina and the nation. You know, it just is a beautiful short essay about that, you know, something that's important to him, especially in his religious role.
I thought his contribution also spoke to what I find here in North Carolina. You can get really profound statements with economy of words and also the humor that comes
right,
through.
Right.
And at the very end, he makes a plea. And while I'm at it, basketball-crazed immigrant that I am from a northern state settled by the Tar Heel Quakers, how about another round ball championship for the state? Not just for those blue and red plaid folks in the triangle, but one more for my little Quaker college here in the Piedmont.
I love
Amen.
That. I love
he just
that. Exactly.
It home.
That's right. And, you know, and some of the pieces are really profound and powerful. You know, Fred Bonson, who is here at Wake Forest, he wrote an extraordinary piece about his ancestors great-great-great-grandfather who was actually the Bishop of Home Moravian during the Civil War. And he writes about his own grandfather, and he writes about his first experience with the Moravian Love Feast. And it really is just an amazing story that he tells in the magazine. And, you know, I think these are the kind of pieces that after you've been out all day, you know, doing whatever you do for the holidays, it's really nice to be able to just come home and sit down with a tangible magazine, something you can hold in your hands and feel, and it's got, you know, some heft to it, and you just sort of immerse yourself into a story that reflects the place where we live.
Well, it's a collection of 16 different essays, right. And yet certain themes recur, one of which in this state is tolerance.
Absolutely right. I think that carries through. Certainly, you know, the focus here was on the message. The contributors are brilliant writers in their own right, but really we were focused on the message, and I think that is a theme that does come through, is the idea that tolerance is important always, and harmony and inclusivity, and, you know, just good, powerful messages that come through from these really great writers and thinkers.
Can I have you read a quote or two? Oh, one of them was put out by Jane Rogers Wilson.
Yeah.
Her last closing paragraphs there really deal with tolerance in a way that I feel speaks very powerfully to that notion.
Absolutely. And, you know, Reverend Jane Wilson, she's the rector of Calvary Parish and St. Luke's Episcopal in Tarboro. And, you know, it's interesting to me to imagine, you know, how the Tar River probably informs her life every day. And, you know, and you read these pieces and even somehow you kind of think about Hurricane Floyd when that came through that region. And, you know, I know she has really deep connections to that area. She ends her piece with this statement: "Teach us to know the difference between open-hearted discernment and narrow-minded judgment. We have so much more in common than the things that we allow to separate us from you and from each other. Mountains, Piedmont, farmlands, and ocean are all the same to you, O Lord. They are all good. Help us to open our hearts to your wisdom so that we truly may love one another as you have loved us. We are not yet in paradise with you, but we are as close as we can be by virtue of our location. May our gratitude for the beauty you have created inspire us always to see that same beauty in one another. Amen." Oh, I love that.
It gives me goosebumps.
The way
she ties together, I mean, just with rare exception, all these essays pay some tribute to just the beauty of what we're surrounded with, either in the Piedmont, the coast, or the mountains. And yet she ties it together and how then we can behave with that as our backdrop.
Exactly.
I think this is beautiful.
Well, and that was the point. You know, our state really is intended to be a celebration of place, and every issue speaks to that. And I think these prayers, these essays certainly do a good job of that.
Another thing that does a great job paired with that are the images that you've chosen. And again, your photography team, amazing in the way they capture not only these individuals, but the place they've chosen.
In
you mentioned the Quaker, Max Carter, leaning against this enormous tree,
right,
just kind of looking
right
off in the distance.
Exactly. And I think that is something that comes through for sure, you know, is the terrain here, the geography is so rich. And so when you move through this section in the magazine, and certainly the entire magazine, you really get a sense of just where we are, you know, that to me is so important in this magazine, is I don't want it to feel like it could be in any other state. I want it to feel like it is here, so that you know where you are when you read it.
And you also, as our state is so famous for doing, pick out little pearls throughout our state that many of us are not familiar with. And I just fell in love with Denton from this article.
Oh, excellent.
And
yeah.
A little introduction.
Just some of the small towns that are around the state that, you know, you might not even think that much about if you happen to be passing through. Denton is one of those places that I'm not quite sure you'd necessarily be passing through. This is in my neck of the woods. You know, I grew up in Randolph County and went to Southwestern Randolph High School, which is really, really near Denton. I had a lot of good friends who lived there. And we used to go eat at Rick's Restaurant. You know, I have all these memories of this place. And so, yeah, we did a great story on just, you know, kind of a small town that really you might not think too much about otherwise.
I want to stop by next time in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Another was the John C. Campbell Folk School.
Oh.
And the quality of the crafts that come out of there. I
Absolutely.
Can only imagine the music as well.
Exactly. The Campbell Folk School, which is in Brasstown, way, way far western part of North Carolina. Really one of the last places you come to before you cross over into Tennessee. And it is paradise out there. Do you know, I actually went out there, oh, it's probably been about 12 years or so now and took dulcimer lessons, mountain dulcimer lessons, and was just so inspired by the beauty and just the magic of this place. It really is extraordinary. Every year at Christmas, they have what they call Christmas Week. And so you learn to make all sorts of traditional Christmas crafts. There's traditional Christmas music. It really is a fine time to be at the Campbell Folk School and see those mountains in the distance. It's just beautiful. And our photo essay is called A Handmade Christmas. And it's about, you know, the origins of the school. This woman, Olive Dame Campbell, came to North Carolina in the 20s and was just, like so many of us are, inspired by this place, and she never wanted to leave. And so she decided to create a folk school so that, you know, the people around her would have a place where they could teach their craft and keep it going. So you can go there and learn basket making and any kind of traditional music. They have banjo lessons. They have dulcimer lessons. They have pottery, quilting. It really is just handcrafts. But you're right. They're extraordinary. Some of the highest quality crafts I've ever seen.
I love the fact that she recognized the potential in that area, how the community came together to provide the 25 acres of land for her to get it started, and how she would see, you know, old folks carving on a porch step and say, hey, you might want to leverage that into something
exactly.
In terms of income.
Right. That's a visionary.
Yeah.
You can do that.
You mentioned hammer dulcimer, Elizabeth, and this image just jumped off the page at me. Mm-hmm. And what an extraordinary scene with the smoke rising off of the mountains.
Exactly. Well, and the beauty of I think, you know, some of the photography in our state is you really can just linger on a photo. And with this picture that you're talking about, you have an instructor who has a dulcimer in her lap, you know, a beautiful wooden dulcimer. You've got the mist coming up from the mountains, and you stare at that picture, and you can hear what it sounds like to be there. You can hear the notes. It just seems so clear and beautiful, and it's amazing that a photograph can do that.
So the photographer is bringing these scenes alive, but in so many ways, it boils down to great writing. And you've got some award-winning writers contributing for this month's issue, beginning with Michael Parker and a remembrance of A Curbside Christmas. You know, a good comedian can sometimes do this, where they capture a moment that we've all experienced, but you never really thought to bookmark it.
Right.
And he's bookmarked dozens in this article,
right,
beginning with just the idea of being a six-year-old and sitting on a curb and watching the parade go by, and that's a prized spot in the middle of the winter.
I love his story. You know, Michael Parker's one of my favorite writers in this state. You know, he's a renowned novelist. He's written many books, and he's a regular contributor for us. And his piece about sitting on the curb waiting for the Christmas parade to come by, I mean, who hasn't done that? You know, we've all experienced what he talks about. What makes his story so interesting in the small town of Clinton, where he's growing up, is the Wonder Bread truck is part of the parade route, and the Wonder Bread truck is slinging out little miniature loaves of bread on the curb. And his point is, you know, you throw anything out into a crowd of people, there's going to be just a pile of people on what they don't care what it is. If it's candy, fine. If it's little loaves of bread.
But we fought over it nonetheless.
No, yeah, right. Exactly.
Some of the more cautious adults brought lawn chairs and blankets to wrap their children in on the rare early December morning when it was actually cold. But kids never get cold, and sitting on the curb seemed to us as daring as skydiving. So close to the action.
Yeah. That's exactly right. A lot of the Christmas issues for us does center around nostalgia. You know, we like to kind of, it's a good time to look back and reflect on childhood and where we were. And so his story does a lot of that. You know, we have several pieces in here that sort of speak back to memory, which I think is always important.
I thought he captured it beautifully here when he was, would you mind reading that where he sees the beauty queen go by?
Michael Parker writes, "Back at the high school parking lot, the chain of vehicles broke apart and the squadrons of my fellow marchers fell out of formation. I looked around at the empty floats and noticed that half of the streamers had been stripped off by the wind, leaving them in pitiful disarray. I watched Miss Midway High School, whose stunning beauty just 5 minutes ahead of me made even horse manure endurable, get in the car with her boyfriend. For the entire parade, I had entertained a fantasy wherein somehow the band would overtake the line of beauty queens and Miss Midway would ditch the back of the vet to march alongside me, a skinny, bushy-haired boy wearing white spats and a tall, furry hat of the type favored by the guards at Buckingham Palace. Instead, I watched her toss her tiara into the back seat of her boyfriend's buffed-down to primer Nova, which was jacked up as high as Santa's sleigh." Doesn't this feel a little anticlimactic to you? I asked a friend who played the tuba, and he allowed us how he'd never noticed any climax because of the weight of that horn was all his poor sore shoulders would let him notice. And what would be the climax of a parade, even if there was one? And anyway, why was I still standing there with my mouth hanging open, staring at everyone leaving? Didn't I have somewhere to be?
Oh, boy, sense of humor.
Yeah.
Great. I love North Carolina humor. That's what keeps us here.
Well, and you know, speaking of that, too, another great novelist who is in this issue, kind of making his debut in this issue, is Drew Perry, who teaches at Elon University. And he is the one who wrote the piece on the state Christmas tree as part of our state symbols feature. And his is really funny, too. He writes about how, you know, in truth, he's really kind of a curmudgeon, but something about Christmas transforms him, and he just becomes consumed with all things Christmas. And he even tells a story about how he decided to marry his wife based on an affinity for a Christmas tree, and it's just a wonderful piece to read.
And then another author with whom we associate a great sense of humor, as always, Susan Kelly, and the Christmas Pact, Unwrapped, Unforgettable.
Yes.
It talks about the rituals of the holiday in a way that that only she can.
Right. Susan's really funny. She's a great Greensboro writer and a regular contributor for our state, too. And her story, again, you know, she's speaking about the memory of Christmas's past and the ritual of just unpacking all the decorations and the accoutrements and everything that goes along with it. And her story is really a funny reflection on that. And then, you know, as we move toward the end of her piece, it drifts a little bit into a bit of bittersweetness that makes the story even more memorable, I think. I love her piece in this magazine.
I love her description of the nativity scene, the live nativity.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's good. Where is
the It begins, it, period, is, period,
yes,
freezing.
Yes. Can we read some of that?
Yeah, that's a great paragraph.
I'll start just a little bit ahead of that. But seeing a live creche is worth every effort of getting into the car on a frigid night and finding a parking place at Greensboro's First Presbyterian Church. It is freezing. The manger seems to vibrate with the cold, although perhaps it's merely the electrician's light, complete with safety cage, set snug in the swaddling clothes to give off a divine radiance. Teenage Mary and Joseph stretch their numb fingers toward the bulb, hoping divine radiance produces heat as well as holiness, and they cast envious eyes at the shepherds, who have not only a live furry donkey to huddle against, but also an actual small fire in a stone pit. Somewhere in the crowd, no doubt, stands a rep from the Department of Social Services waiting to haul off these frostbitten nativity players who will never forget their roles this night.
Love it. A little irreverent, but fun.
I know, exactly.
You gotta love it.
That's right.
And we know that Our State Magazine would not be a real issue if it didn't involve food in some way. What do you got
exactly
this month?
That's exactly right. Oh, my gosh. You cannot have Our State Magazine without some mention of food. And I know for so many readers, Christmas morning is all about country ham. You've got to have a traditional Christmas breakfast of country ham. And we've got a great story to tell you where you really could get some of the best country ham you have ever had. It's in a place called Warsaw in eastern North Carolina. So a wonderful piece about that. How you can ensure your Christmas tradition on the plate.
So this year, Our State's December issue, great in so many ways, is the first for 16 prayers for Our mm-hmm. State, which was new. But you're expanding into the 21st century in a neat way.
Exactly. We, as a companion to the print component of the prayers, we have an online component for our website that really is unique for us, and frankly, it's extraordinary. It is such an immersive experience when you go to our website and you can hear every single clergy reading their prayer. It's accompanied with music that was recorded just solely for us, in some case, new pieces that were arrangements that were written just for us for the pieces. There's all sorts of supplemental video. It really is unbelievable. I mean, there's entire photo galleries. It creates this expansive experience that you wouldn't have just with the print. While the print is wonderful and brings you in, I think the website is a place where you really can spend a lot of time, not just visually, but now you are orally too. You can hear everything that's happening. The images, the Kruger brothers, Shannon Tucker, Rhiannon Givens, I mean, just all kinds of artists who have recorded music that accompanies these prayers.
And these are Grammy Award-winning artists.
Absolutely, yeah. It really is just amazing. There's exclusive behind-the-scenes interviews with the contributors. It really is just something extraordinary to sit and take a few minutes and watch. And it's prayer.ourstate.com.
Well, thanks so much, Elizabeth.
Thank you, David.